I'm joined here today by Ethan Penner. Thank you so much for joining me, Ethan.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You're known as one of the pioneers of the CMBS market. Obviously, you led Nomura Securities. You were latterly, obviously, with CBRE Capital Partners. It's fair to say you really have seen the highs and the lows of the commercial real estate market. And I'd love to get your perspective of how do you characterize commercial real estate today? What are you really seeing in the market out there?
Well, I think that everybody knows the price action. And so clearly we're in big cities at the highs or above the highs. And around the country, we haven't yet quite gotten there, but we're closer to highs than we are to lows, and everybody knows that. And I think more important is the question that people always ask when we approach highs, is this time different, right? That's always a question that people want to know. Is there a reason to believe that a paradigm change occurred? And it really reminds me of what occurred in the mid to late 1990s. In the mid to late 90s, up until that time, there were rules of thumb. And young people probably don't know this today, but there were rules of thumb as to where cap rates ought to be by property type. And so, for example, retail, typically strip centers were thought to be 9 to 10 cap properties. And that was for decades, okay? Well, as we moved into a lower and lower interest rate environment, the moves away from those ranges to lower cap rates kind of left a lot of the older guard behind, because they were sitting around saying young people are making a terrible mistake and ultimately there will be a reversion back to the 8 and 9 and 10 caps that we've known our whole careers. And as you know, that never happened. Okay, with the exception of the crash in 2008-09, rates have been very low and it's driven cap rates down. So paradigm shifts do occur, is the point I'm trying to make. And the question is, are we in one now?
What's the state that we're in at the minute? Are we in a bubble? Is this the new normal?
Today we're definitely at low cap rates, but we're also at historically low levels of interest rates. And I would say that given the fiscal crisis and the fiscal imbalances that exist in governments around the world, it is imaginable that we will be in a low interest rate environment for quite some time. Even though people fear high interest rates, they've been fearing it for the whole period of time that we've seen inordinately low rates. And I understand that fear, but I think people have to invest their money. And in a 2.5% to 3% long-term treasury environment, getting really good quality real estate at a 4.5 or 5 with pricing power, it's not so crazy.
And what's the impact for investors as they're looking for commercial real estate? One of the conversations that we've had on many PrivCap interviews, is there enough NOI growth in the deals to offset future rate increases?
Zoe, I think that the outcome of all this is that investors won't get rates of return that they've been promised because they're not out there. So, you know, what one wants or what one needs is always trumped by what is available.
How do, particularly investors, when they're looking at the market and they're looking at the U.S., how do they find relative value today given what's happening out there?
Look, I think that it's no different in that sense today than any other day. Relative value is a very important concept because that's the only way to really be a good investor. And I think, unfortunately, too many people don't think about relative value. And so relative value means looking at the entire landscape of investment options, risks, and returns that are available, and finding where you want to be and what's mispriced relative to other investment opportunities. I think that's the correct way to look at the market.
And where do you see some of the best opportunities as you look at the debt investing space?
The U.S. debt market is, in my mind, overfunded and therefore mispriced. So I don't really see that as a very exciting opportunity today. And if I did, I'd be out there raising a fund to do it. And I'm not.
Are you looking elsewhere? Are you looking more internationally, perhaps Europe?
I would say that there are a couple of things that I like in the real estate world in general that I think offer some decent relative value. I do think that the European debt opportunity is definitely better than the U.S. debt opportunity. I think that one has to be careful there. But I think one can do the deals there at much more conservative levels because there's less capital chasing those deals. I don't think it's a get-rich scheme by any stretch of the imagination, but I think one can create a good relative value, good risk-return profile there. I think that in the U.S., there's been a heavy concentration of capital into the hands of a large investment management companies. And I think that's created a relative value disparity between small deals and large deals. And I think that in general, if one can find the operational ability to address smaller deals, one would find, a relative value pickup relative to large deals.
A lot of people are particularly looking at the Mezz opportunity and saying, in terms of the equity gap, that funding shortfall, this is a great time to be a Mezz player. And we've seen a lot of new entrants kind of come in. Is that not a kind of real opportunity?
Why wasn't it an opportunity in 2009 and 2010 and 2011? And it really wasn't a very big opportunity. I mean, I think people, perhaps even including me, thought it would be bigger than it would be. And when I was running my funds at CBRE, had to really rethink and retool our strategy. And we were very fortunate to have built a broad mandated platform so we could move into other debt strategies, including some CMBS stuff, because the shortfall or the funding gap that you're referencing that we also anticipated would create a need for the kind of capital we raised, it never really materialized. And I don't know why one would think that the next few years will be different than the last few.
Do you think that there's too much capital targeting this area?
Well, let's take the math. Let's say there's $1.5 trillion of loans that are maturing over this so-called three-year window or two-and-a-half-year window. And let's pretend that fully half of them are in trouble. They need to be deleveraged. There's a funding gap. So $750 billion. And of the $750 billion, let's pretend that the funding gap on average is 20%, right? So 20% of $750 billion, well, that's a pretty big number, right? That would be $150 billion. That would argue for a gigantic opportunity. I think the numbers obviously will be a considerably smaller number. But if it's anywhere near that, then everyone's going to have a very good time of it, and the returns will be pretty good. My sense, given what I saw in the last three or four years, probably my guess would be that people would be somewhat disappointed.
That actually comes to another theme that has been very prominent during the interviews. What does it take to be a successful real estate investment manager today? Do you need to be the big, broad, global players? Or, can you be mid-market? The mid-market seem to be the ones that have been really squeezed. What are your thoughts? What does it take to be a successful real estate investment manager today?
So every day, I think one of the keys to being successful as an investor in general, in any field, real estate included, is having a broad enough mandate so that you could be responsive to the changing market conditions. And I think it's one of the classic mistakes in the institutional investment world when an investment manager is put into a kind of a small box with a small and narrow mandate. Because during a three-year investment period that a fund typically has, a closed-end fund, in today's world, investment ideas are rendered obsolete in months. And so if one were to go raise money for a strategy today and have a three-year window to invest along that narrow mandate, it could be that for 2.5 years, they're investing stupidly. Not because they're stupid, but because the mandate that they were empowered with has become stupid.
But the LPs would contend that, strategy drift. We have to prevent that from what happened in the crisis.
The answer is find managers who you trust, whose judgment you trust over a broad array of strategies. When I raised debt funds at CBRE, I made the case that you're investing in me and my team and our acumen in understanding the business of real estate finance. You're not investing in our acumen to underwrite a sliver of that business, but the totality of that business. And that whether I bought CMBS bonds, or whether I bought mezzanine loans or originated them, or originated senior debt, it's all part of the mosaic of real estate finance. And you should only want to invest in a manager who understands the totality of that business, not a sliver of that business. Someone who understands a sliver of that business doesn't understand the business.
Give me your number one lesson that GPs should have learned in the wake of the crisis.
Well, there are many, okay? One of them is that. That would be my number one is narrow mandates don't make sense. And if you don't trust the manager on a broader mandate, don't invest with the manager.
As you look out over the next 3 to 5 years, what excites you most about commercial real estate and the opportunities you're seeing?
I would say that the volatility of the world and the unprecedented nature of the global government's heavy hand in the investment world has added an element of risk and risk analysis that I particularly enjoy thinking through. I like the intersection of government and investments. I wish it were not that way as a fan of the free market, but as an investor, I kind of welcome that element of risk that needs to go into understanding the macroeconomic climate. I enjoy kind of thinking about that, and I think it will cause some more kind of sorting out of winners and losers, because I think there are a lot of people who don't think about that.